Luke Fletcher from the pavilion end. Bowls just goes straight up in the air. Luke Fletcher says, mine, as big buckets of Fletcher's takes it. And Keaton Jennings has gone, caught and bowled Luke Fletcher.
Jake Ball on a hat-trick. Five slips and a gully and a short leg. Bowls has hit him on the pad. They're asking. Jake Ball's got a hat-trick here at Trent Bridge in the first over. And Nick Copton has gone first ball. Middlesex 0-3. What scenes at Trent Bridge?
This is the Talk of Trent Bridge. I'm Matt Freeman. Welcome to the podcast, which comes in a week that's been all about looking forward to next season and back to some of the best moments of the past 10 years. Luke Fletcher and Jake Ball join me in the studio this week to discuss the Outlaws' new Adidas Limited Overs shirts and Jake's budding modelling career.
It's something different, isn't it? You know, you try and get away from the game a little bit and, yeah, just enjoy it.
He is good looking,
get the also, hair and makeup.
He always looks good in everything. Like, I put clothes on, Mark. Why don't I look as good as that? He'll put some shoes on or something in his hair.
Luke and Jake also chewed over who they thought were the best players they'd played with in their time at Notts.
Consistently over 10 years for Notts, he's put some unbelievable performances in.
I think as a complete, like, club man, always put everything out there, worked his bits off. He was always training hard. He was always the first one in, last one out.
And we'll hear from Director of Cricket Mick Newell about new signings for next season, including the latest man to put pen to paper, Mohammed Abbas.
You know, his stats are quite amazing. He's done very well for Leicestershire over the last 2 years. We're hoping that in those first 9 games he can have quite an effect and take a lot of wickets.
But first, with Jake and Luke both having hosted the Talk of Trent Bridge in seasons gone by, there was only one place to start. Luke Fletcher, first host of the Talk of Trent Bridge podcast. Nottinghamshire icon, hundreds of wickets, serial trophy winner. Jake Ball, equally, hundreds of wickets, won trophies, hosted the Talk of Trent Bridge podcast, and now it's me doing it, who literally screams if someone throws a ball at me in the office. Mm-hmm. It's a bit of a come down, isn't it, really?
Similar.
We have got a pink shirt on.
Christmas time.
Yeah. I think it brings the colour out of my eyes.
You are a good looking bloke, aren't you?
Christmassy.
It's a fantastic start.
You're a good shave away from being bang on.
Sort that out. There we go. I'll get the razor out tonight.
So am I as well. I need a good shave.
Yeah, that's all you need.
So does it as well.
That's all you need, yeah.
Welcome to episode 2 of the new series of the Talk of Trent Bridge. Jake, how's pre-season been going so far?
It's been good. It's pretty tough at the minute. We're doing lots of fitness and a few boys are getting quite tired towards the end of weeks and things like that. Luke, but you know, it's we all know what to expect this time of year. It's what we've done pretty much every year since we've been at the club, so it's par for the course. And I think they're trying a little bit harder this year to try and break us a bit, but it's all good fun. We're all enjoying it, and hopefully we'll see the benefits come next year.
I saw this morning when I was walking around the back of Radcliffe Road those massive weights were outside of the concourse.
Farmers walks they're called. Yeah,
farmers walks. Well, I can't even lift them. What are you doing with that?
Well, lifting them and walking. We're not doing any magic tricks with them yet. Just literally lift it and walk. It's good for the tendons. It loads the tendons in your knees and stuff, which is great really for bowlers. So you want to put as much load to them as you can, because you know it's coming in summer, isn't it? But you know, we put a lot through our bodies, so we need to be strong.
Having been through a few pre-seasons at Notts now, is this one shaping up to be a little bit tougher?
Jake's right. It gets to a stage where you feel like it's just breaking you. And this week, yesterday, normally Mondays I'm bang up for it and loving it. And yesterday I wasn't. I was like, oh, you know, it's getting towards the end of the program now, the Christmas program. So this is the time where you've just got to get your head down and get through it, really. So it's been good. It's been good fun. But now I'm starting to feel it a bit.
It's not all been running up Gotham Hills or triathlon. There's been a bit of laser tag along the way. A bit of karting last week as well. Posting some pretty impressive times there, Jake, got to say.
Yeah, well, I've always known I was a good driver. It's just nice to have it confirmed by the experts.
What happened is when he was going around, he was smiling with his new teeth. He was just blinding everyone. Couldn't see properly.
That needs a new set as well.
How are you finding it out on the track? It taking a slightly more aggressive approach, it
seemed. I loved it. It's great. You know what? We've got it bang on, to be honest. We have been working really hard, and it's been tough some days. I mean, Mondays and Thursdays are really hard, but every week we've done something fun. The karting last week, everyone loved that, didn't they? That was up with one of the best things we've done for a while.
Now, earlier this week as well, a new face to be added to the seam bowling ranks in the shape of Mohammed Abbas. Have you come across him much in the last couple of years? He's been at Leicester a bit, hasn't he? So
yeah, I played against him once. He got me out here, Golden Duck. Yeah.
T20.
T20. I went out pinch hitting
Is he going to bring that up on day one?
I've seen him bowl a lot. Obviously, not play against him too much because he's been at Leicester in Division Two last couple of years. But we've come across him a little bit. I've come across him a little bit in international cricket as well, and we know what he can do. He's so consistent, and his record speaks for itself. You know, he puts the ball in the right area a lot of the time, and lets the ball do the talking. I think that's exactly what we need, certainly here at Trent Bridge, start of the year, and hopefully can drag the rest of us with us.
Yeah, you look at those numbers, it's an astonishing record. And I suppose, Luke, as a place to bowl as a seamer, Trent Bridge in Red Bull cricket is pretty good.
It has been, but last year it was different, really. I mean, when I first started my career, it was probably the best place in the country to bowl, but now it's slowly not really that anymore. But it all depends what the wickets, what style of cricket we're going to play. And I think with obviously signing Mohammed Abbas might mean that we might play on a few juicy wickets. I hope so. Anyway, we need to get 20 wickets to win a game. So. And the way he bowls, he's a class bowler, so it'd be great to have him.
What is it that's changed that over the last 10 years or so? Is it the toss?
There's a toss, that was one thing, yeah. There's the drainage systems, which we put in a while back now. The toss thing is, especially being Trent Bridge, the reputation is, you're just going to turn up day one and bat, aren't you? Because opposition is going to put us straight in. So you don't really want to leave too much juice in the pitch, do you? Because, you get skittled. For a low score.
I also want to touch on another member of a long-term member of the Knox fast bowling ranks, Stuart Broad, back in the England squad for the tour that starts, I think, pretty much immediately in South Africa. 12 years ago this week since he made his England debut as well. Do you think he gets the appreciation he should for those sorts of numbers?
Yeah, I think he does. I think Broadie's proven himself over many years now. I think when you have him sort of been good friends with him for a number of years now, you see him sort of going peaks and troughs, and when you think he's down and out and his international career is done, he comes back and just keeps getting better and better. I think one of his main strengths is that he's constantly working on his game. I think we saw last year he shortened his run up slightly and working on trying to not open his foot too much on his planting foot and things like that, and he just keeps developing and going with the game. And I say we saw last summer how he had David Warner in his pocket, things like that. He just does special things, and I think you need that in an international side.
And I suppose with him, Abbas, and both of you and the rest of the squad, it's a bit of a competition for places job looking like at the start of the season.
Always is this time of year. You're sort of looking, thinking, oh, I wonder what our starting lineup's going to be, and I suppose the batters will be in the same position as the bowlers. So it's exciting. It's good as well. I mean, you need that. You need a good, strong squad to get through a season. So, we just got to make sure. Well, I personally, I always look at the first game and try and make sure I'm in that starting 11. Then you sort of go from there, don't you? But, definitely some competition.
Is that something you genuinely enjoy, thinking I've got to fight for my place rather than I'm pretty sure I'll be there anyway?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think we've all got to fight, haven't you, really? Especially with, like you say, having Broadie around. That's a spot taken up. Abbas, that's another spot. So there's only two other spots for bowlers. And obviously me and Jake both want them. So, these other lads like Zach Chappell, Jack Blatherwick, people like that who are desperate to get in. So, yeah, you've always got to fight. And I think, if you don't sort of put the fight in, then eventually get caught up and lose your spot.
Alongside Haseeb Hameed, Abbas is one of two new faces who've been added to the Knox squad so far ahead of next season. I caught up with Director of Cricket Mick Newell earlier this week to talk about the new arrivals, starting with the Pakistani fast bowler.
Well, I think he's got an outstanding record both for Pakistan and in domestic cricket in Pakistan and in England. So, his stats are quite amazing. He's done very well for Leicestershire over the last 2 years, particularly in 2018, the first year that he was here. And I think with the amount of four-day cricket that's going to be played through April, May and June, when you think the pitches would be seen are friendly, we're hoping that in those first nine games he can have quite an effect and take a lot of wickets.
There's been a few overseas seamers signed for Knox in the past few years. You think of Pattinson, Siddle. What is it that takes you down that route so often, really?
I think you're always looking for the best quality of player that you can get. We've had a number of different types of player, like you say. We've had batters going back a little bit further in time and also spin bowlers. I think you're looking for the best possible player. I think the key thing for this year was, as I say, 6 four-day games by the end of May. You'd think that a lot of those games, if the weather is good, will have positive results in them. They'll be seam bowler dominated. We've lost some seamers as well from our squad, so we wanted to add some experience in that area. And he's a high quality bowler that wants to play 4-day domestic cricket, and there aren't always that many of those around.
another addition in the last few weeks in Haseeb Hameed, someone with a bit of experience who but still is one of the younger players in that squad. What was the thought behind his signing?
Well, we knew that Haseeb was available from sort of mid to late September. We were very keen to talk to him. Pete knows him well from the Lancashire. He knows him or knew him as a teenager back up there. He's obviously got a very high ceiling. He's played for England already, so there's obviously a huge amount of quality and ability in there that's just got a little bit lost in the last two or three years, and we think that Pete is the man to unlock that again with him. He was very keen to come. Like you say, he's only 22, I think 23, so he's not hugely experienced in terms of age, but we think there's a maturity about him and a knowledge of his own game and a desire to get back to where he was that will make him an attractive player for us.
And do you think that move away from being in the Lancashire setup for so long could be beneficial as well?
Yeah, look, I think he feels he needed a change. Lancashire were happy to let him move on, so that's fine. No issues with them. And we were very keen once he became available because we wanted to strengthen up our four-day batting. And if we can get him back to the levels that he was in 2016 when he played for England, you know, we think we've got a very good batsman on our hands.
That's Director of Cricket Mick Newell speaking to me earlier this week. This is the Talk of Trent Bridge podcast with Luke Fletcher and Jake Ball, my guests this week. Another big thing in the past couple of days has been the new kit. It's turning up.
Yes, exciting, isn't it?
Yeah, I tried it on the other day. Oh, God, it's very, very good.
Now we've got video, and I think we've got photos as well of you doing the kit modelling.
Do you have the photo?
You model for John Pye for Not Salah, don't you?
It's the new teeth.
I've got Giacomo. I do Giacomo.
how was your modelling experience? I've seen you donning some weird hats and lying on beds and things.
Yeah, it was excellent. It was good to see the new kit though. Obviously, we saw a few samples back end of last year. But it's nice to see sort of like the final product, see what it just feels really nice on, and you know, I think the boys are going to really enjoy wearing the Adidas kit next year.
Yeah, I'll have it on nights out. Rock City on a Friday. Get the 50 over cup. 50 over shot on.
Do they let you in with trainers, or do you have to go?
Yeah, you can go in what you want there, can't you? It's anything, yeah. It's free for all this.
You have special Rock City shoes, don't you?
Yeah, you'd be too posh dressed like that. Don't be like that.
Yeah. But that is the second bit of modelling, you've done in the past few weeks. Is that kind of a sideline you're enjoying? How are you getting the gigs? What's going on?
Since he's had his teeth done, look at his teeth. He's invested in his teeth and he's got all these gigs.
I wasn't going to tell anyone I had my teeth. I enjoy it. You know, when you get asked to do stuff like that, I got asked back in the last year that to do the John Pye one. It's something different, isn't it? You know, you try and get away from the game a little bit, and I just enjoy it.
He is good looking,
get the hair and makeup done.
He always looks good in everything. Like, I put clothes on, like, why don't I look as good as that? He'll put some shoes on or something in his hair. I'm like, what?
Was Ben Duckett a perfect modelling partner?
Yeah.
What, for the Smurfs?
Yeah. Little and large. I thought I was going to have to put him on a box at one point. But he's all right. He turned up a bit sweaty and whatever, but he wasn't very professional. But I sorted him out. Don't worry about that.
I'm sure it'll all come out all right in the end. But as we look towards 2020, it's the end of the decade. Fairly obviously goes without saying. I want to start looking at the last 10 years for Notts as well and some of the best performers in that. If you were picking one player from the past 10 years for Notts, and you can include yourself if you want, that was sort of the top billing player of the decade, who would you go for?
So I'm thinking of the players who I've played with who've won most games and had the biggest impact. So I can't look past Samit Patel. Genuine. Like he's put some unbelievable performances in. I think because he's been around more, because he hasn't played as much international cricket as people like Hales, Broad. Like Hales and Broad, obviously, they've won some matches. Hales is 187 at Lords, was incredible. But I think consistently over 10 years, four Notts, I'll have to say Samit Patel, yeah.
Jake?
It's so hard to pick one. You look back at bowlers and bowlers that had an impact on me when I was coming through. But I love Reedy. I can't not, you know, I think just as a complete, like, club man, always put everything out there, worked his bits off he was always training hard. He was always the first one in, last one out. Even to his, I think it summed him up. It was his last game here and he was still out there doing his morning drills. It could have been quite easy for him just to say, oh, this is my last day, I'm going to chill out. But he was still out there doing his bits, and I think as a complete club man and somebody to look up to, I think Reedy was up there for me.
I'll tell you, Reedy. Mullaney's not a bad shot, you know. He sort of goes under the radar with stuff, doesn't he, Steve Mullaney? But, you know, he's been here for 10 years now, and he's he's done, you know, he's done some special things as well. He's, you know, he's won four trophies, I think, three or four trophies. So people like that, I mean, Hale's bloody hell, he's bloody hell, isn't it?
Bloody hell,
honestly.
Bloody hell, I mean, I like you four times now.
Well, every time Skyr is, Samit's man of the match. It's just unbelievable. He's just, yeah. Samit and Reed, I mean, yeah, you can't look past people like that. Reed, yeah, Patel, Hale's broad.
Andre Adams,
what was it? You know, he's, yeah, hasn't been here for 5 or 6 years, but bloody hell.
Pike, too, like Franksy bleeds green and gold. Yeah, he just loves the club. And
David Ussett, there's loads of people.
There's so many. I'm going to stick with Samit though.
You're going to stick.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with Reedy.
Samit and Reedy. It's pretty good. It doesn't get much better.
And Reedy's style as well.
His style.
I love a bit of Reedy's style. Love
bit
it.
Of a mod, innit?
Get him in the modelling next time we get some done.
It's got too hasty, eh?
Now, we had Stephen Mullaney on last week on the podcast and talked as well about...
I've seen it. He put it all over his Instagram and on his Facebook.
Did, yeah. What a
shock he was posting.
Which I appreciated big time. We talked a bit about...
Are you
going
to get me in first?
I bet he got you stuck on this podcast up again, didn't he?
He talked about his fellow Lancastrian, actually, because we talked about sort of sporting inspirations for people growing up. And his man was Freddie Flintoff from them being together 2005 time-ish when he was at Lancashire. Who'd be your kind of, maybe not when you were here, maybe even before that, kind of the person you saw playing or you thought, yeah, I want to be a cricketer and that's why, because of him?
I don't know.
You can say me if you want.
Yeah. Luke Fletcher.
I did play against you in your Premier League debut. You can.
Really? What was that, Paperwick against Welbeck?
Welbeck, yeah.
When I walked into Hooters as a wee whippersnapper and saw him tossing the wings in, I thought, that's it, that's the man. I think I wasn't late to cricket, but I was late into sort of like realising that cricket was something that I could do professionally. Until I was about 17, I was like, cricket was just something I did for fun. I never really thought, you know, I can do this as a profession. I enjoy my football and golf and things like that, but I never thought I was ever going to do it professionally. So I never paid like a tremendous amount of attention to it. But I really enjoyed, as a bowler, I really enjoyed watching the two quick West Indians. And I think I just really enjoyed how sort of relaxed and like languid that, and they made it just look really easy. And you know, they used to tear teams apart. I used to enjoy watching that.
That's sort of the Ambrose Walsh.
Yeah,
kind
Ambrose
of.
And Walsh. Yeah. But I say I was quite late to cricket. So Brodie was one for me. I remember watching Brodie from like 16, 17, thinking, oh, he's a young lad coming into the game and smashed it. So. Yeah, there's loads of people you look up to, I think. Yeah.
Does that make it weird to play alongside Brodie for the first time if you've watched him on the telly first?
It was for the first few years, but then you just realise he's just one of you, enjoys his golf, enjoys his football, and just a normal lad, yeah.
Anyone for you?
Yeah, wow. Probably 2000. I'm similar to Jake, really. Like, I never thought I'd play cricket for a living, but 2005 Ashes, I was down here net bowling for the full week before they played the test match here. And it was Flintoff, Harmison, people like that. And I thought, oh God, you know, these lads, especially Flintoff. I mean, he was unbelievable, wasn't he? He was like, yeah, one of the most popular people in England, wasn't he, when they won the Ashes?
Your best mate now, isn't he?
Yeah, I've spoke to him a few times.
It's becoming a talk of Freddie Flintoff podcast. What's going on?
We're the same era, aren't we? Me and Mullaney and Bordy, people like that, we're all around the same era. And I think that 2005 Ashes was not just us, it was probably thousands of people in England that started noticing cricket a bit more. So Darren Goff, loved the way he bowled. I like Darren Goff, he's a funny man. Flintoff, Harmison.
Steve Harmison, 2005, that was special.
Quality, people like that.
Used to be him on the back garden.
But then when I came at Notts, Mark Elam, Ryan Sarbottom, people like that.
Yeah.
Paul Franks, I remember Paul Franks because everyone used to talk about Paul Franks and he was obviously a bit of a legend around here. And then I first met him and was like, oh, God, because he's quite in your face, Franks, isn't he? So I was a bit like, oh, my word. Sort of thought he was like Robin Hood or something, like, Jesus Christ.
bloody hell.
But yeah, Frank, yeah, people like that. The year before I started, I used to come and pay and watch T20 down there on Friday nights.
Yeah.
And then the next year, I was in the dressing room. I thought, this is crazy.
That's
people
a
like
big leap.
Graham Swan, Hussey, Sidebottom. Just sat there thinking, oh, my God, this is wild. Unbelievable. What is going on here?
Well, we've covered plenty of ground in the past 10 or 15 minutes. Thank you. Thanks, yeah. Jake. Thanks, Luke, for both joining us on the podcast. We'll be back soon. And there's plenty more behind-the-scenes content on the website as well at trentbridge.co.uk.